Okay, I think we'll go ahead and get started. I have been asked by a number of people if I'm recording this, so my brother helped me out a few minutes ago when I called him and said, "What should I do to record this?" And so we're going to go ahead and record this talk too, and eventually make that available on our website. And so my name's Sarah Russell, and I'm a nurse practitioner. And knew nothing about Lyme. When I didn't learn anything about Lyme in school. And I started my career as a nurse practitioner in Washington State, where there's not so much Lyme. And it really wasn't a thing that we talked about. And then about, what year is it? Tw 14 years ago, we moved to Virginia. Hello, Lyme. And so I've learned about it over the years, and rosemary really has been a huge adjunct to my learning. Come on in. There's a couple of chairs over here. And I'm gonna let her share her story. Rosemary is one of our nurses who's been with us for several years. 3.5 years. And so she has been a big part of my education and her story, as well as the International Lyme Conference, ILADS, and some other training that I've done since starting Libertas 6 years ago. So I'm going to let her share her story and we'll jump in.
Yeah, so like she said, I'm Rosemary Brenneman. I'm a LPN. I graduated in 2018. I didn't always want to be a nurse. When I was little, I was like, I'm graduated high school. I'm not going to college. I'm done. I did not like school. But my sister got sick when I was 13. She had this mystery illness. She was having seizures. She was going to the hospital. The doctors were saying she's faking it. She's depressed. She wants attention. I know, especially there was one late night call that we called the ambulance, and they came in. She was just had been seizing for hours, and they could not get on top of it. And he did the sternum rub on her 2 times, and that is just like that has given her so much PTSD, and it was just awful. Like I know the sternum rub is it can be used well, and but in this situation, it was just totally the wrong thing to do. And just seeing her go into the ER, like she'll spin out knowing that she's going to the ER. It's like, I can't go, I can't go. They don't understand. Nobody understands this disease. So we didn't even know what it was for. I think she had it for 3 years until we really were able to get a diagnosis. And then I got sick. I started with symptoms. And I was diagnosed on my 15th birthday. And a week later, I had a 2-hour-long seizure. And thank God we knew what it was, though. Like, okay, this is Lyme. So we didn't go to the hospital because I would have gotten the same treatment that she got. But I went to Dr. Jemsek, sorry, Dr. Raxlin in New York City, and I was put on 15 months of oral antibiotics. And I went into kind of a remission, and then I relapsed again. And then I went to an herbal, a natural, I'm not sure what, I think she was a naturopath, maybe. And I did an herbal round of supplements, and I wasn't doing well. I was getting really, really sick. And looking back, what I know now, I think I was herxing. I just wasn't detoxing well. I wasn't supporting my body. But I ended up having, I think, 200 seizures in about two months or so. So then I went to Dr. Jemsek in DC, and they put me on another 15 months of oral antibiotics, which got me functional. Like I was pretty good. I thought I felt pretty good. I went to nursing school. After seeing my sister suffer and myself suffer, I just wanted to go and like learn more and be able to make a difference. So I thought I was doing well. I had a lot of brain fog. Looking back, like nursing school was really hard. And I look at like where I am now, I'm like, I think I could just do so much better in nursing school now. But during that time, it was about, let's see, 19 to 24, so about 5 years. I went to Mexico twice to get IV treatment, which we offer all of that here. So you don't have to go to Mexico if you want to get that done. You can get it done right here. And then I was 20, 26, 27 and thinking about starting a family. And I'm like, I'm just not well enough. I'm not well enough to start a family. So I went to Illinois and did a 2-week IV antibiotic protocol. And that is really what, like, for me, that is what really, I would say took me to 100%. Like, I felt really, really good. I still tested positive for Lyme when I was pregnant, and my daughter has tested positive since, but we're both feeling well. I'm not scared of it because I feel like we have some really good options now to manage, and to kind of move forward with it. But I was sick for 13 years. My sister's been sick for almost 20. And she's damaged, her system is kind of damaged to the point, I don't know, she's got a lot of other diagnoses. But I haven't given up on her. I tell her, I was like, Andrew, we can get you better. I'm pretty sure there's always hope. I'm just not ready to give up on Lyme. And I think there's always something. There's something for someone, and I think everybody can improve. You can talk about acute?
Sure. So
I'm going to talk a little bit about acute Lyme because the way we're trained in medical school to treat Lyme is not appropriate when you have acute Lyme. We don't treat it long enough and thoroughly enough to prevent chronic Lyme disease. And so if you have a tick bite and you have a true acute Lyme diagnosis, the minimum amount of time that antibiotics should be taken, typically that's doxycycline, should be 4 weeks, 4 to 8 weeks really, in order to prevent that from turning into something like a chronic Lyme. And the standard for Lyme prophylaxis is 3 weeks. If you don't know, if you got a tick bite but don't know necessarily, or you didn't test the tick, which we'll talk about later, then you should be on at least 3 weeks of antibiotics. And as a functional medicine provider, I'm not in love with antibiotics, but I also understand that there are times when that is the treatment of choice and can prevent long-term ramifications of Lyme, similar to what Rosemary and her family have experienced and others. So making sure that you're getting treated long enough. So the standard right now for prophylaxis is a one-time dose of doxycycline, which isn't enough to prevent or treat anything. But that's the standard of care right now. And so making sure that when you do get a tick bite or you have Lyme disease, that you're being treated long enough is really important. And so in order to find out if you have acute Lyme or if the tick that got you is at risk, well, one of the things and kind of myths, we originally thought that a tick has to be on you for 3 days in order for you to actually contract Lyme disease from them, but we found that is not the case. Hi, William. No problem. Do we have an extra chair? It's back there. Yeah. So, originally it was said that you had to have it for 3 days, the tick on you, in order to actually contract Lyme disease. But the ILADS, the International Lyme Association, is now saying that 16 hours could be enough, and maybe even less than that. It just hasn't been thoroughly tested. So one option to kind of know how long you should treat this, and if you don't have a positive Lyme test yourself, is you can send the tick in for testing to see what Lyme and or co-infections the tick is carrying so that you can get treatment based on that. And there are there's a ticktest.com, and there's also iLads that does, or iGenics, I'm sorry, that does testing on the tick, and you just put it in a little baggie and ship it to them. And it does cost money, but you can get, but it's cheaper than the like high quality human blood testing that we send to Germany or other places to get done. So that is certainly an option to see if you're at risk and should have extended treatment. Now, one of the other challenges that we have in diagnosing and treating Lyme, similar to Rosemary's story, is the Lyme testing that we have available through LabCorp or Quest, or you know, these general commercial labs, is not accurate. The specificity is not high enough on them. And so certainly they do sometimes pick up Lyme. And when they do pick up Lyme, it's a true Lyme disease and it should be treated as such. But generally it's a Lyme blot. And what that means is it's kind of, it's filtered through a system, and you have these markers that are the different antibodies for Lyme. So because the testing is based on antibodies, if you just got bit by a tick, your body hasn't developed enough antibodies to even show up on the test yet. And so you have to have had it long enough to develop antibodies for it to show up as positive on the test, because that's what is being tested. And you also have to have them in adequate amounts. And also, when you're doing antibody testing, there can be some that look like others. And so the accuracy of it can be a little bit, especially when you're not looking at it under, you're not looking at a spirochete under a microscope. You're just looking at antibodies filtering down through a test, and it'll show up if you have antibodies on this line spectrum. And according to standard of care medicine right now, you have to have 5 different antibodies show up on that test in order to be diagnosed with true Lyme. Many more conservative providers will say at least 3. My concern is if you have 1 or 2 of especially the primary antibodies and you have any symptoms at all, you should be diagnosed and treated for Lyme disease. There are several specialty labs that have more like highly specific tests or look at them under microscope and can give you a more definitive answer when it comes to Lyme disease. 2 that we've used are iGenics, and they have Lyme disease testing with all of the co-infections, other viral illnesses that sometimes come alongside and jump on the bandwagon, like EBV or mono. And so, and then one that we've been using quite a bit more lately is out of Germany, and that's Armin Labs, and we send it off. It's about $200 to send off to do Lyme testing. The nice thing about the one in Germany is that you actually get a number. So with most testing, you get kind of a positive or negative looking at these bands. And in Germany, you actually get a number of what's going on. And so that can be really helpful. And it's also really fun to see numbers that are positive go to 0. Is that all I was covering? Let's see. Oh, I can talk a little bit about alpha-gal. So is everybody familiar with what alpha-gal is? Alpha-gal would be considered a co-infection or another tick-borne illness, and it's super fun because it makes you allergic to mammal meats. Alpha-gal, like I said, it is also from a tick bite. It doesn't cause Lyme disease, but it does make you allergic to beef, lamb, pork, and they don't test for it, but likely venison and any other goat. If you eat goats, any other mammal meats, and then also any kind of beef or pork or whatever product, which hides by many, many names. So gelatin capsules, leather couches, leather belts or shoes, And gelatin hides by many, many names, or beef products hide by many names in food products. And there's a huge spectrum. I had a kid today who was positive for alpha-gal. No known symptoms. Why did we check? No. So sometimes I wonder, like, is alpha-gal like that many more people getting alpha-gal, or am I just testing it more often? I don't know.
Symptoms can show up like 8 to 16 hours after the exposure.
Right. And so, and most of the time when we think of food allergy stuff, we either think you're going to break out in a big rash or your gut is going to be angry with you. And that's not always the case. I have had a lady who had eczema around her eyes, and that was her only symptom. And the eczema kept getting worse, and she was making beef tallow soap. And so she was progressively getting worse. We were trying to figure out what was causing this, and I ended up doing allergy testing and alpha-gal testing, and she popped up quite high for that. And she stopped making soap with with tallow, and she and her family was big into grilling and steak and burgers and all of that. She quit all of that. And she now, and then all of the eczema went away. And over time, as we worked on her gut, her alpha-gal numbers are not yet zero, but they have come down quite a bit. All that to say is I have seen time and again with fixing the gut and the immune system, alpha-gal numbers going down to zero and people being able to have it and not have symptoms and not have it recur. Which is interesting and wonderful. But it is something that's a long haul game. Oftentimes it's not something that's quick and easy to treat, because the gut and the immune system aren't quick and easy to treat. And when you're trying to reverse disease processes, it takes time and it takes a lot of personal effort, because I can recommend things all day long, but the bottom line is, like, people have to do the work of it. And, so I have another lady with alpha-gal that really kicked up during her pregnancy. She was milking cows and cooking for her family, and just fumes. Like, if she was at a restaurant where beef was being cooked, the fumes from those particles in the air could set off an anaphylactic type of response in her when she kind of escalated. So the spectrum from zero symptoms to, like, considerable anaphylaxis can be really wide and broad. But if you have weird nebulous symptoms that don't fit anywhere, it is worth checking for alpha-gal. And I always check alpha-gal and other food allergies, because the more food allergies you light up for, the more significant your leaky gut or gut problem is, and the more work that we're going to have to do to get it better. So that's alpha-gal in a nutshell, and we'll keep going, I think, and then definitely have time to take questions at the end.
I'm curious for you guys, who all here has or had Lyme? Okay. Who all scared of it?
What about alpha-gal? Anybody with alpha-gal?
Yeah. I'm going to talk about chronic Lyme. The CDC would say that chronic Lyme does not exist. It is post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome. So they say the spirochetes are no longer there. It's not a current infection. If you've been treated with 2 weeks of doxycycline, you're fine. You don't have Lyme disease anymore. If I was in a Mennonite, I'd probably say a bad word right now. That's baloney. It's extremely frustrating and invalidating to go to a doctor as someone who's been sick for years. And, oh, you just wanted. I was put on an antidepressant when I was 15 years old, and I was having seizures. They're like, you're fine. You're just depressed. Like, what? So it starts out like everyone knows what syphilis is, right? Has like it's a spiral shaped. Bacteria, and that's what Lyme is too. That's where it starts out, and that's where, if you hit it quick enough and long enough, it is effective antibiotics are effective in killing it for 80% of people. There's like a 10 to 20%, even that won't work, even if you get it correctly, according to ILADS data. But if you don't treat effectively initially, or if you don't treat at all, because most people don't even know they've been bit. And, you know, the whole bullseye rash, that's less than 50% of people get that. It's just, it's easy to get. It's such an easy disease to get. So you get a bite, you get 2 weeks of doxy, you don't have Lyme, right? But no. So what happens is the spirochetes, they go, instead of spiral forms where the antibiotics are effective against them, they go into like a round body form, and they have like biofilms around them, which make them like super bugs. And so the antibiotics can't get to them. And that's where the whole 15 months of antibiotics that I did twice, they do it like a pulse therapy. So they hit it and they pull back and they hit it and they pull back. And it is sort of effective. And that's what my background has been. So for years and years, I thought antibiotics was the only treatment for Lyme. That's the only thing that worked for me and my family. We tried the herbal thing a little bit. I don't think we did it well. So I think there's definitely value, and like there's people have gotten success with the oral antibiotics. Like I'm here to say that, like I feel great. You know, I've had a baby, I've had a pregnancy, I've been healthy. And the oral and IV antibiotics have worked for me. But there is a whole nother world of herbals and minerals that we're starting to get into a little bit more. And I know people who have been healed from Lyme with the herbs and the minerals. So there you have you're not going to have the gut issues. Everybody knows antibiotics are bad for the gut. So,
and I'm going to jump in and just say that one thing I think is important when Lyme is no longer acute, but chronic, because of the biofilm that it creates around it. And mycotoxins or mold and other things also create biofilms to protect them from the immune system and to live their own happy life, destroying your body. And so part of what we do with chronic Lyme is use a biofilm disruptor to help break down those biofilms so that the immune system or antibiotics and other treatments can get to them. And then also, which she'll probably talk more about as far as herxing and reaction to die off from that, is binders, so that your body can, so that the binders can grab that and flush it out, get it out of your system, so it's not staying in there creating more problems.
Mm-hmm. So the International Lyme and Associated Diseases, they define chronic Lyme as a chronic active infection by a strain of Borrelia burgdorferi that generates signs or symptoms for at least 6 months. That's not real hard to get to. I'm going to read you some of the symptoms of chronic Lyme. Fatigue, headache, sleep disturbance, muscle pain, joint swelling, pain or stiffness, tinnitus, blurry vision, word finding problems, lightheadedness, anxiety, panic attacks, depression, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, chest pain, neuropathy, numbness or tingling, vertigo or dizziness, memory loss, cognitive dysfunction, sensitivity to light, sensitivity to sound, sensitivity to smells, tremors, facial paralysis or Bell's palsy, air hunger, neck stiffness or pain, irregular menstrual cycles, cold hands or feet, low frustration tolerance, fever or chills, GI upset, brain fog, night sweats, mood swings. So I'm guessing all of you have at least a couple of those. That's the problem when you're like, you see, when you like study Lyme, you just see Lyme everywhere. I just think everybody has Lyme. It's a problem. Yeah, as far as like going into the treatment side of things, so obviously I believe chronic Lyme exists. I think you guys probably all believe that. You know my history of antibiotics, my history of the Mexico trips I did. We did chelation for heavy metals and Myers IVs and, you know, vitamins and things. And I think there's a like I said, I'm a living testament that those do work. I am better. I am still testing positive for it with the good tests, but I'm not symptomatic. So, and if I do get symptomatic, I have like a whole office of resources here, so I'm not too worried about it.
But I do think that, you know, there's several people who have written books on Lyme disease and treatment, and there is this question of like, can you get rid of Lyme disease? And I think that's kind of an ongoing question. I believe theoretically that Lyme disease can be gotten rid of. And but the question is, like, are you getting rid of it, or is it just staying dormant and your immune system is healthy enough that that isn't act it, you're not getting it activated? And so you could probably sit in a room and argue with people all day long and never come to a result on that. But the goal is to get to where, yes, maybe you're testing positive, or maybe you still have Lyme hiding somewhere, but you don't have any symptoms. You're living life fully and don't have any reactivity.
And even if you could cure it, you could get bit again the next day and get reinfected. So, negative Nancy here. It's just you've got to have some tools in your tool belt, and this is where I can get excited, because if you don't believe you're going to get better, if you don't believe you're going to cure it, you won't. Just bottom line, I don't care what doctor you have, you're not going to get better. It you have to believe it. I've seen it time and time again with the Lyme patients we've worked with, the negative Nancy's and the people that are just like set in this, like, I'm just not going to get better. I'm going to stay sick. And I'm not saying if you've been sick for years and years that that's your problem. I'm not saying that you're, being negative, but maybe look at yourself a little bit. But it just takes that pot. Like, I'm not talking about like manifesting health or anything like that, but there's such a huge connection between our brain and our cells. Like the cell danger response, I just learned about that last week. It's fascinating. You guys should look into that. But like, so shift your mindset into a healthier pattern and believe that you can get better.
And I will just, are you done with that part? Like, I will just say that there is, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. And so this isn't, like Rosemary said, it's not like the power of positive thinking, but your mindset and what you speak over your body, what you believe about yourself, has a huge impact. And we are not just cellular beings. We are triune beings, and every piece of it impacts the body. And so, whether it's Lyme disease or autoimmune disease or any other chronic illness, the things we believe about ourselves, hope, and your mental status makes a huge difference. And I will say that for people who have done all of the things and they've done it all right, and they've done the diet and they've done blah blah blah, it the likely culprit keeping someone sick when they've done everything else right is the mental health piece. And that's true with cancer, and so many other things. And so I just would encourage you to ponder that. I talk to my cancer patients about how important the mental health piece of it is, and forgiveness, and getting trauma counseling if there's trauma, and those kinds of things, because you can do all of the right things, but if the mental health piece isn't fixed, there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score, which is not a Christian book, but it has good theoretical basis that, like, the things that we experience in life and the things that affect our mental health are going to manifest somewhere in the body if you don't deal with them.
So, mental piece of it. Detox. When I did the treatment the second time, the 15 months of oral antibiotics, I got really obsessive about sauna. Like, I don't know, it was probably part of the disease because of that obsessive compulsive piece of it. I would religiously in that sauna 45 minutes every single night. I just would not go to sleep without it. And I feel like that was a huge piece in making that treatment effective. So detoxing, if you're a Lyme, your detox pathways are probably most likely compromised. Gotta support them. And there's so many ways. I'm gonna put a paper up. I have like a whole document that I send people. Lots of ways you can do them at home for free. There's lots of options there, but you've got to like incorporate that into your daily, weekly life for sure. And we have detox therapies here too. We have the red bed, we have foot detoxes, we have sauna, which is But yeah, you might want to just get your own sauna. It's so nice to do at home. I think it's so much better to do at home when you can go shower. We have detox IVs as well. So those are great options here. Also, like, I remember when I was 16 and I had had Lyme for about 2 years, and I went to a little wellness place that there weren't very many of them back then. And there was a Myers IV that I got. And on the way home, I looked at my mom and I said, "Ah, this is how normal people feel." I just felt like it just lifted this brain fog. So Myers IVs are great. We have them here. We call them immunity. They're better than Myers. It's vitamin B1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 12, magnesium, vitamin C, zinc, and lysine. So it's just like a, usually Lyme patients really respond very well. It's just like a little pick-me-up. So we do those here for non-established patients. Ozone, really good option. We have an ozone machine here. You can get injections. You can get rectal ozone, which isn't real popular, but it's cheap and effective and it's quick. You can do the IVs too, but those are much more involved and costly and all the things. And you can get set up at home with your own ozone machine for about $2,000, which will pay for itself pretty quickly. I'm going to put a paper out, like I said, for detox information. And then as far as what we offer here for Lyme, so I don't know how many of you guys are here are patients, but we have a long wait list. We don't have a lot of options. So if you can be here as an established patient, you have like lots of Lyme options. But for non-patients, non-established care patients, we have two options we offer. We run the IV protocol that I went through. That's 10 days of 3 IV antibiotics. So it's a big hitter. We've seen really good things from it. It's about $12,000 self-pay. So that's one option. The second option is something we've been doing. Eve's been helping us with. Is called Minerals RX, and it's copper, zinc, and magnesium. So it's 3 minerals, and they're ionized. So they're the same pH as the body, correct me if I'm wrong. And they're formulated in like a hexagon structure so that they can actually penetrate the cell, and that biofilm, like we talked about, was such an issue. And I've been working with patients with it. We did a study here. We tested patients before. We gave them 4 to 6 months of the minerals, and they all across the board show decreased or resolved Lyme on the Quest scan. And some with the blood work, like the good blood work. So that was really exciting. And I have my sister on it, and she tested negative for the first time in 20 years. So she still has some damage, but we're getting there. So that's the second option that we kind of offer. We have some limited spots right now, but you can definitely, I'll do like a minerals option and then the detox option. Write your email if you're interested in either one, and then I'll send you some information on it.
We'll have the papers up here, and you can put your name,
perfect,
and email and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. That's all we're able to offer right now. I mean, I wish it could be more, but we have our limitations. But I think they're both really great options, especially the minerals for kids. You don't want to put your kids on, you know, years of antibiotics, or really anyone.
Yeah, so I'll go into a little bit more detail on our, Rosemary helped us after she went through in Illinois this 2-week IV Lyme protocol. We developed one better that is both gentler or better on the detox pathways and on how the IVs work synergistically together. So like she said, it has 3 antibiotics. We often also will do chelation for heavy metals. We'll treat mold during that time. So we do several weeks before someone even starts that treatment, we do a large blood panel looking at the immune system, any autoimmune disease, alpha-gal, allergies, and like, what does the whole picture of the body look like? Both to see like how is the body struggling, or what are the other things that could keep someone from healing, or what else needs to be treated in order to bring the whole body? Because if you have Lyme, you're not just a Lyme disease patient; you're a whole person, and we want the whole person to be well. And that's the case with Lyme or cancer or any other thing that you're treating. So the find my train of thought. Okay. So, and then we also do some specialty testing. We often will do the Germany test on Lyme, and then we do three urine tests, one on heavy metals, one called an organic acid test, looking at mold and bacteria and mitochondrial health, how well your body's detoxing, how your neurotransmitters in your brain are working, and key vitamin factors related to that, and then a mycotoxin or mold test to see if that's a factor. And then we treat all of those things during the course of treatment. We also do what's called a mitochondrial bag, which is kind of like an immunity Myers plus NAD and other detoxifiers and supports for the body. We do a lot of NAD with that program too, for the brain and brain restoration and detoxification and all kinds of things that NAD does. So that's kind of a day of treatment. We do foot detoxing and sauna and red light therapy all during that treatment. So that we're getting everything detoxed. We also give binders and biofilm disruptors and that kind of thing. So we're kind of trying to hit all of the bases during that treatment and then follow up with gut repair and finish treating any mold or other things, as well as then having someone on minerals or herbals for helping to clear any residual Lyme. So it's kind of a hard hitter 2-week session with then a continuing repair program. Mm-hmm. Several things so she mentioned the minerals, which we started using and did a study on last year that has been really, really productive. And so I'm actually speaking about that at the Lyme conference this fall in DC. And then there's another herbal that we've used quite a bit and quite successfully called Core 4. And Core 4 has four of the top herbals that hit Lyme and the co-infections at least twice, like attack it in two different ways, each of the co-infections. And so that has also been a really good treatment option. And I've even used that in, like I had a kiddo last year who had active Lyme symptoms and they didn't want to do antibiotics, and we hit Core 4 and resolved all of her symptoms and she's remained very stable. So we also do Quest testing or bioenergetic testing to look for Lyme that might be hiding from blood tests. And Eve, our naturopath, does a lot of that. And so because Lyme is so good at hiding, but the body tells the truth. And so that can help us find things that might be hiding elsewhere in the body. Co-infection. So, you know, a lot of times we think of just the basic Lyme, but then there's the co-infections like Bartonella that predominantly affect the brain and can, there was a study or a treatment case study where a patient was diagnosed with schizophrenia kind of out of the blue and had got inpatient treatment and just their life kind of taken away from them very suddenly. And a Lyme literate doctor did testing and found Lyme, treated him for Lyme and completely restored him. But he had Bartonella as well. And so sometimes you don't have the typical Lyme disease, but you actually have the co-infections, which can also create all kinds of neurological or body symptom damage and need treatment. So sometimes you may not have, like, you may be testing for Lyme, but what you have is the co-infections really that are creating the damage. And so looking for those can be important. So I want to talk real quickly about prevention, because prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? And so one of the things that we keep here that I really like, it's called Lyme Nozode. It's a homeopathic for Lyme and the co-infections. And it's a tincture that children and adults can take. And I recommend taking it during tick season, spring, summer, and fall, as drops once a week. And then I tell my parents or families that, like, if you get a tick bite, then you start taking it every day. for at least a week. And so we do use that preventatively. The other thing that I tell people is if you pull a tick off, put tea tree oil on it right away. And I've also been lately recommending a drying salve. So drying salves will help pull out any of the any infection as well as any of that enzyme that creates more of an allergic reaction and the itching and irritation and kind of a non a rash that's not your bullseye rash but more of an allergic rash. And so the drying salve can be really helpful to help get, I don't know why I'm pointing here, but people get tick bites there. Anyway, so the drying salve can help pull that out and minimize the risk for developing Lyme disease. And so, and we already talked about acute Lyme or 3-week prophylaxis treatment with doxycycline or amoxicillin. Any questions? Did we get through everything that was on our list?
I forgot to say I have little pamphlets up here. If you want to know something about Lyme disease, don't Google it. It's not going to be accurate. Go to ilads.org. They have a lot of good data there. And then there's take one of each and go and read them. And they have patient resources. They have things you can tell your doctor. They have a lot of good information there. Educate yourself from good sources. Tom Moorcroft on YouTube is really good. Under Our Skin documentary is really good too. There's 3 of them. I watched the first 2. I haven't watched the 3rd. But those are both really good. Yeah, questions?
Yes.
Is the bullseye always red? Or can it be brown? And is it, can it be anywhere?
So generally, the bullseye from the tick bite that we consider positive is around where the tick bit you. But you can develop a rash somewhere else.
So you can get like weird, yeah. The rash, the erythema migrans rash.
So if you've been bit by a tick years ago, I'm talking like 30 years ago, and then you develop this brown circle with a circle in the middle.
Where you were bit? Or not? Or just anywhere?
No, just anywhere.
I mean, that can be a little bit hard to say because that could be like mycotoxins or fungal, but it could be. If you were bit years ago and you're concerned about reactivation, then antibody testing, specialty testing, or Quest testing could give you a decent idea of whether you've got something active. But kind of like alpha-gal... It could kind of be almost anything. You know, symptoms could be very nebulous and still be Lyme.
They call it the great imposter because it will attack any and every organ system. Like, it can present as literally anything. Eczema, you know.
Just a second. Lynn?
Just because you get bit, do you need to do anything? I mean, should you? My husband just got bit by a tick last week. So, do you need to do it? I mean, it's just like a...
So,
you know, like, do we have to, or
you know, that I think is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I think that is definitely a good question and a big challenge because, yeah, you could working out in your yard, you could get bit by a tick every other week and then live your life on antibiotics for the summer. And that's not a good option either. So, Rosemary might have a different answer than I do. I don't think every tick bite needs a treatment with antibiotics. I do recommend like the drying salve and tea tree oil and maybe even the Lyme nosode as a preventative and to be really hypervigilant over the next month if you develop any kind of symptoms.
So what's the drying salve?
A drying salve, yeah, so at like Target, CVS, Walgreens, there you can, and Walmart, you can get one called Prid by Highlands. Highlands is like a common homeopathic brand, and they make a lot of natural supplements, but Prid or Earthly, which is a great company, has what's called a black drying salve, and it has charcoal and bentonite clay and beeswax and coconut oil. It will say drawing salve. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get just straight bentonite clay.
Yeah, you could do straight bentonite clay.
Every, like, once a week, basically, for about 6 months, because he works on a farm. And I just have him on the minerals. I know I'm not going to put him on. He had, like, one time he got into a nest and had, like, 30 tick bites. Then we did 3 weeks of doxy, but no, normally we just do minerals or herbs, because I'm not going to do antibiotics all the time.
Preventatively, I mean, I like
just
you. Well, that the idea is for it to, but it doesn't always. And some people are just tick magnets, you know. And so, and there is not enough research, but some kind of anecdotal things actually. Oh, I will put it out there when I remember who told me this and find the information. But someone did tell me this last week about something orally that was not, oh, I don't remember who it was, that kind of puts off an odor that ticks, that repels ticks, that you can take safely orally. It wasn't DMSO, because that repels humans. It was something else. But I will find that out, and I'll put that on our Facebook page and stuff. There was something that I heard about this week.
Well, I know my husband started using peppermint soap, and so he has not had any bites over the past couple months as soon as we found the peppermint soap. If you can stand peppermint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and peppermint and lavender are repellent.
I do spray my shoes and
Yeah, generally speaking, peppermint and lavender are repellent. I also like doTERRA's Terra Shield. And so I tend to use that. I have their spray or oil. But yeah. Yes, Daisy. Yeah.
I have a two part. If you were to get a tick, so the first thing is, how do you remove it? That's my first question, and I have a second. How do you properly remove a tick?
90-degree angle. Try not to squeeze it, they say, which I don't know how you don't squeeze a tick when you're pulling it out, but just 90-degree angles and just straight out.
Well, the tiny, tiny, tiny
the
little
nips.
Ones. Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you use a tweezers or?
I just found this. I just used it on my dog. It's a Tractor Supply. It has two little plastic things that are like this.
Yes. Yeah, there are
like a little noose or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a tick. Yeah, you can get the little tick. I have one somewhere around here, but yes, you can get a little tick, like a noose that goes over it, and we'll grab that little booger and pull them out.
Right. And then the second part was, if you did get it, how you tea tree oil,
right?
Mm-hmm. All those oils.
Mm-hmm.
How many days or how often?
I say twice a day until the redness and everything is completely resolved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just 1 second. You had a question.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Does insurance in general cover the cost of treatment, or does that just depend?
It depends. We have worked with some people, especially if they have other. If in all of our testing we find that they have some things that are treatable with insurance, then we treat those things with insurance.
Okay.
And
okay.
Go ahead. Yes. Okay.
So I was reading about it, of course, and said it was cute, and was saying it can be sensitized or it's called a syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And because he doesn't have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he kept drinking 12 months and nothing, right? But he just got retested and his numbers doubled. But also, a couple days before the test, I'm pretty sure he got big nail on his back. It was bone on his back, but then he got a red knot. And so, how do you. Oh, and the kind of thing that, you know, if you don't have symptoms, stuff, they maybe feel consumed, but doesn't even feel the same. It's so hard.
It is hard. I if I have a true, like if it's 0.11, maybe not. But if I have a, if I have an alpha gal positive, I always have them take a break from, like, not sitting on leather couches or those kinds of things, but from mammal meats and from dairy, and for at least 6 weeks, and then do some kind of leaky gut healing support for the body, even if they're asymptomatic, like my patient today, because the allergy portion, so because it tests alpha gal and whether you've got antibodies for that, and then it tests like pork and beef and lamb, and so if pork, beef, or lamb are elevated, you've got some level of leaky gut thing, and if you don't fix that, then you're going to end up with allergies to wheat and corn and sesame seeds and everything else under the sun. And so you can at least look at it as like, okay, we need to do some gut repair, and I do consistently see those numbers trend down and go away. We're going to talk, well, I'm not going to, but somebody's going to talk about that in just a minute. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Can I ask Rosemary a question?
Absolutely.
You gave three resources, and I couldn't write fast enough. One was ILADS.
ILADS. ILADS.
So it's all of these brochures are the ILADS.
That's the International Lyme Association.
Okay. You pick up one of these, you'll have that.
Tom
Moorcroft, Moorecroft, Moorcroft. I haven't listened to every single one of his videos, so I can't vouch for every single one, but the ones I've listened to.
And I didn't catch the other one.
Under Our Skin.
Under Our Skin?
It's a couple documentaries. There's, okay. The first one's free on YouTube. You can watch that. Don't let it depress you, though. It's a little overwhelming.
Sure.
But just, yeah. If I want you guys to walk away with anything tonight, it's like there is hope. There really, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think there's always something for someone, and we just got to find it.
Mm-hmm. I just have a question. When she was talking, she mentioned that her child has it. So is it passed from mom to child?
Congenitally, yeah.
I did not know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She has all the same ones I have.
There's also some question that if, like, that if you get treated, if you're going to get better, everyone in your home has to be treated because they will keep reinfecting you.
So even like an asymptomatic spouse, like your spouse is like, I don't have Lyme disease, but they're carrying it, they're reinfecting you. Their immune system is okay, and they're clearing it, but yours isn't. And so you get better, and then you get reinfected by your spouse or your child.
Or your dog?
Yeah. That's so real bad.
Or your horse?
Cats are real bad for Bartonella. So that's the one that makes you go crazy. Yeah.
So that's fun. okay. Yes? Saliva.
Kissing.
Saliva, kissing. Mm-hmm.
Sharing spoon cups.
William is a new friend. He's an acupuncturist, and I'm going to just let him share a little bit because he's done some treatment with acupuncture for Lyme. Do you want a microphone? And I have this fancy microphone because we're recording this. Yes, let's do it. You can stay where you are if you want to, or you can come up to the front.
Yeah, sure. At risk of making too many people turn their heads sideways, I'll come up front. Yeah, I reckon. You'll have to forgive me. I wasn't blessed with good public speaking skills. I'm an acupuncturist, which means I look at disease in a wholly different way. So how many people are familiar with acupuncture? Everybody. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay, cool. This will make my life a bit easier. How many people are familiar with traditional Chinese medicine? Okay, a few less. Cool. This is an important distinction to make. So traditional Chinese medicine is the founding theory that guides an acupuncturist. Acupuncturist is a modality of medicine, right? The needles, the stabbing, you feel better, hopefully, right? But how do I come up with plans? How do I come up with treatment styles? This is founded by traditional Chinese medicine. So that theory of medicine, which extends back a couple thousand years, it is one of the oldest styles of medicine. And so it has a big learning history. So when you're going to see an acupuncturist, they should and probably will say a bunch of stuff that you don't understand, because the language that they use to diagnose and understand things is very naturalistic, because 2,000 years ago, we didn't have an understanding of the nervous system, the lymphatic system, of microbiology and bacteria. You know, these are all wind and natural diseases and ghosts and stuff. So there's a lot of strange language around it. But typically, as an acupuncturist, when I'm looking at Lyme's disease or any disease, first of all, I need to understand where it comes from. Lyme's disease, relatively easy. It came from a tick bite. So we're looking at parasitic infection. Now you have two axes to this, right? You have the actual parasite and then you have the symptoms that come from it. Both of them are important, right? When you're looking at the parasite, if you can get rid of the parasite, you get rid of Lyme's disease. So to your guys' end, there is a way to like fully eliminate Lyme's disease. The tricky bit is it's really tough to get rid of the parasite. The parasite does a really good job at hiding. Now, I'm going to speak in terms of Chinese medicine. I personally think that the reason 20% of people, stealing your guys' statistics, don't respond well to antibiotics is largely because of biofilms. In Chinese medicine, we typically call these like dampness and phlegm. The two most difficult things to treat in Chinese medicine is blood stasis and phlegm, which is commonly seen in Lyme's disease patients. So when we're looking at phlegm, this includes things like biofilms, right? So any type of, it's quite literally like sticky, fatty substances that accumulate in your body. They're like stuck in all these corners. And when Lyme's comes in, it's like, great, that's my home. That's where I'm going to live, because they're hydrophobic, right? They don't like water. So a lot of things that are water soluble can't penetrate them. So if you have antibiotics that are like water soluble, they live in these biofilms, they can't really get to them because now they're protected, right? So if you have a lot of dampness and phlegm, which I do see within Lyme's patients, it's going to make it harder to attack the parasite, in which case acupuncture, which is very good for treating symptoms, isn't typically enough, right? So you're getting acupuncture. Acupuncture regulates the nervous and endocrine system, which is your two messaging systems within the body, right? Your nervous system is controlling your organs, functionality. Your endocrine system is how we actually send chemical messages. We need a bit more than that, because now we need to actually get rid of these biofilms, and this is where we get into herbs. So most acupuncturists have an understanding of the Chinese medical theory for prescribing herbs. A lot of the herbs that I would prescribe for people with Lyme's disease are super yucky and nasty and bitter and taste terrible. That's because they shred apart what I would call phlegm, which can also be considered biofilms. They tend to be like super bitter and cold, and they're terrible, and they make your house smell bad. But they're really good at destroying biofilms and fats, and they're also, some of them, slightly toxic, because medicine is poison at the right dosage, right? The idea is you want to kill what's inside of you and not kill yourself, generally. That's when we get into the herbal side of it. So typically, if you're treating for Lyme's disease or you're seeing an acupuncturist, you're going to go on a course of some kind of herbs, and you're also going to experience acupuncture. You're going to do acupuncture. Acupuncture is going to help you with symptoms, regulate your nervous system, regulate your endocrine system, and the herbs are actually going to tear away at the films and then help tear away at the parasites that are living inside of you, help remove that. So that's an important thing with Lyme's disease and why it's classically really tricky to treat. It's also really important to regulate your circulatory system. So that other thing that I mentioned, blood stasis, is common in Lyme's disease. If you're not keeping your circulation up, so this is where we get into like detox pathways, circulation and lymphatic system, especially your lymph system, is a bunch of tiny little vessels that get rid of all the metabolic waste and garbage your body makes. They don't have their own pump, right? Your heart pumps your circulatory system. Your lymph doesn't have a pump. You have to move and do stuff to actually pump it, right? Muscle contraction helps move the lymph system. And then they're accompanied right next to blood vessels, so they get some secondary pump from the blood vessels themselves. But if your blood's not moving well, then your lymph's not moving well, and then you feel bad because none of the trash is getting emptied out. And if you live in a house and you never empty the trash, then your house is full of trash, and your house doesn't feel good, and your body is a temple, right? So we need to look at that. So that blood stasis occurs, and then everything gets slower, and treatment is much, much, much more difficult, because also you can't transport, right? The transportation system of your body is your circulatory system. So if you're, right, if FedEx and UPS just shut down, nobody is sending packages anywhere, nothing happens, and then nobody does, right? Nothing can get anywhere. So this is also a really important axis. You have to make sure that your circulatory system, your lymph system are unclogged and moving well, right? So that way treatment can actually be effective and get where it needs to go. Then you need to make sure that you're taking something that actually strips away and gets rid of these parasites. And then you need to take care of the symptoms, right? So you're regulating the nervous system, the endocrine system. So oftentimes treatment for Lyme disease, at least from my point of view, looks like acupuncture, herbs, a lot of lifestyle modifications. So we're probably going to do some diet changes. Unfortunately, that looks like no dairy, no super fatty foods, no greasy foods, some mixture of that. More movement is really important, because movement just helps move your lymph system, helps drain toxins out of your body, right, through sweat. Sauna is super awesome because it helps invigorate your blood circulation. Your blood's going to move a ton. Heat moves blood really well. It also gets you to sweat, right, which gets rid of excess interstitial fluids. So if you have stuff like in your lymphatic system that's built up, right, in the fluids, right, your body isn't just empty space, there's fluid in there. So when you sweat, if you have too much fluid that's all sticky and gunky, you sweat it out, you feel better, your blood's moving well, feel really good. Really, really important. So there's a lot of lifestyle modifications that come with this on top of treatment, but generally that's what I'm looking at as an acupuncturist, looking at patients with Lyme disease. And it manifests slightly differently for everybody. There's a lot of symptoms. Again, you mentioned how it's the great imitator, I believe is what you said. In Chinese medicine, I would look at that because it depends on what organ system is being affected. So Lyme disease, depending on where it's hiding, and what organ system is mostly being affected, is going to change your symptoms. So just to dive into some of the thought process, when you see like a lot of GI disturbance, and you said you had an interesting one about frustration, which I think was interesting. Reduced, like you're just more, yeah, you're more likely to be frustrated, all these things. I'm gonna look more at your liver. We're seeing like digestive issues, and you have a bad appetite, you feel full all the time, and you're bloated. I'm looking more at your digestive organs. You see eczema and things pop up, I'm gonna look at more at your lungs. You see some allergies pop up, but it depends on what organ system is being affected. This is also a little bit determined by your constitution previous to getting Lyme disease. So if you already had a proclivity towards having like a weak liver, then your liver's more likely going to be affected. So we want to work on that, right? We're going to increase some nervous system drive towards the liver to try to increase functionality and activity in the liver. And then we can reduce some of the symptoms that way. But generally, that's like a just kind of a brief insight into the mind when we're looking at Lyme disease patients. That's ideally how it works, though. So if you ever come in seeking treatment from an acupuncturist, those are kind of the things that you should be looking for. Like those are kind of key things you want to hear, like some symptom management. You should be seeing some type of herbal prescription for Lyme disease. There should absolutely be a lifestyle modification. I'm not sure where all of you folks live. If you live somewhere else and you seek treatment with an acupuncturist, if you don't hear stuff like that, it's a little bit of a red flag in my mind, because all of those are super important for actually treating you with the intent of making you better, not just making you feel good for a little bit.
Do you do any of this? I had someone ask earlier today, do you do any of the ear, the ones that stay in for a little bit?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to apply acupuncture. There's like a bunch of different paths up the mountain, depending on how you do acupuncture. When we're looking at actual systems of acupuncture, I made a joke when I was taking my board exams to become an acupuncturist. Somebody asked me how I was able to study for the points location exam. I said, oh, it's easy. I just memorized all 365 points. It's not that hard. So there's a lot of points to pick from. And then on top of that, there's multiple systems and theories of how to apply acupuncture. Ear acupuncture has been pretty famous lately. When we're doing acupuncture, we're looking at microsystems. So on your ear, there's a microsystem. What a microsystem means is one area of the body is reflective of the rest of the body. Now, the ear is a really interesting one because it has vagus nerve attachment. So a lot of the regions on the ear connect to the vagus nerve and then subsequently connect to the rest of your internal organs. Because this vagus nerve, broadly speaking, regulates your sympathetic versus parasympathetic nervous system and then a lot of your internal organ functions. So there is ear acupuncture. If you're terrified of needles and you're like, I don't want to get stabbed, fair. Generally, I would say that's a good outlook on life. Or you can do ear acupuncture, which is super fine. There's no danger. There is like actually no danger with ear acupuncture because I could put a needle straight through your ear and nothing bad will happen. We've already get piercings. But there's a ton of different ways that you might experience acupuncture. Some people do scalp acupuncture. They put needles all through your brain for more neural regulation, right? So for somebody who's experiencing, maybe they're having like tremors or weird symptoms, or they're having more like mental health issues develop, maybe they're having some more brain fog type things, although brain fog is oftentimes associated with the digestive system. You might see some scalp acupuncture. A lot of times when I'm doing acupuncture, I put needles all over people's body. I just left treatment today for somebody working on not Lyme disease, but some other stuff. And I put needles in people's feet and hands almost every single time I do acupuncture. Legs, limbs, stomach, back. Basically, I put needles. There's points everywhere. I can put needles anywhere, but it really is dependent on your acupuncturist, their upbringing in acupuncture and what they think is going to be best. Your also body can respond slightly differently. So if you're scared of acupuncture or you're like, well, I don't like, it seems weird, or I just kind of want to test the waters, rest assured, if you have a good acupuncturist, they can find a way to make it work within your comfort and tolerance level. Almost always. Yeah.
We have a bunch of Williams cards, in the card slot on the, checkout window side of, on the other side of this counter. We could actually put them right here. It'll magically happen very soon. So don't worry about it. You can grab one when you go up if you want to. Any questions for William? And then we can take some more questions online if you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any success with helping people with tinnitus? I see a lot of that.
I'm going to say yes and no. That's a tricky question. Tinnitus is so difficult. And we're looking at it from a Chinese medicine point of view. It comes from largely two regions. So there is general aging, which is a big cause for tinnitus. And then there is more infections, toxins, or heavy metals. It can also come from... it's hard to say. I'm trying to westernize what I'm thinking. Exposure to loud noises can cause tinnitus. Typically, that is the most easy to treat tinnitus that I see in the clinic. So if there's actual physical trauma to the ear, that tends to be the easiest one. Old aging tinnitus, just so you guys know, if anybody does have tinnitus, it tends to be more low pitched, more of like a soft low pitch sound, more like waves. This is more typically related to old aging type of things. When I would look at it, high pitched tinnitus generally is more indicative of toxin, excessive frustration, stagnation in the liver, some type of liver pathology. When I would look at these things, it can also be related to like if you have a super stiff neck, or if you're like chronic clencher, stuff like that, you have like bad TMJ type of things. But I would also typically associate that with some type of liver pathology. Again, speaking from Chinese medicine. So tinnitus, depending on where it's coming from, if it's coming from old age, a little bit harder to treat. Because I can't make you youthful and live forever, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd be a millionaire. I can, if it's coming around more from a toxin or liver place, which I tend to see more people who are complaining about tinnitus, it does come from that because the high pitched one is more annoying. That's more treatable. It tends to be a long course of herbs and acupuncture, but tinnitus is like my worst enemy. It's really annoying to treat because it's just really resistant to treatment. Because it's a, I like to call it a tertiary symptom. So you have a root problem that manifests, and then you have secondary symptoms that come from that. And typically tinnitus is like the last thing that shows up. And so it's the third part of the problem. And so I need to get rid of the root of all that before it like goes away. It's very annoying. Yeah. So yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So much for not being a good public speaker. Good job. All right, any other questions for Rosemary or I? We do have his cards. Like I said, they magically appeared. We have two sheets here. One, if you want Rosemary to send you the detox information, and one about the minerals, which we did a study on this last year on Lyme, and or if you, I don't know, want some other miscellaneous information, we're happy to communicate that. But thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And appreciate you guys. And so, yeah, hopefully we can help you.